Good morning. Greetings of love in Jesus Christ's name. It's a beautiful thing that we can gather together on a Sunday morning, come around God's Word. Maybe we can start with a prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, thankful that we can be digging into thy word. Father, we pray that you would speak through this message. Father, we pray that these would not be words of mine, but Lord, that they could be yours. Father, we pray that all glory would go to you. We thank you, Father, that we can have this freedom to come and fellowship with one another. Lord, that we do not have to be afraid to do this. But yet, Lord, sometimes maybe persecution would be the best thing for us. So, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your Son. Thank you for his death upon the cross, for the blood that was shed. We're thankful for the resurrection from the tomb. Lord, to know that we serve a living Savior. We thank you so much in Christ's holy name. Amen. This morning, I'd like to read from Nehemiah chapter 2. In the first chapter of Nehemiah, we have a prayer from Nehemiah because he has this burden to go back to Jerusalem and to rebuild the wall. And he prays, it's a prayer of repentance. And he, because he knows that Israel has sinned and that they have let this wall disintegrate. It's been burnt. It's been broken down. So here in chapter 2, I'm going to read the whole chapter. So starting at verse 1. And it came to pass in the month Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king, that wine was before him, and I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been before time sad in his presence. Wherefore the king said unto me, Why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid, and said unto the king, Let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad? When the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire. Then the king said unto me, For what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. And I said unto the king, If it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. And the king said unto me, the queen also sitting by him, For how long shall thy journey be? And when wilt thou return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. Moreover, I said unto the king, If it please the king, let letters be given me to the governors beyond the river, that they may convey me over till I come into Judah. And a letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace which appertain to the house, and for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall enter into. And the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. Then I came to the governors beyond the river and gave them the king's letters. Now the king had sent captains of the army and horsemen with me. When Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, heard of it, it grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. So I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. And I arose in the night, I and some few men with me, neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Neither was there any beast with me, save the beast that I rode upon. And I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well, and to the dung port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. Then I went on to the gate of the fountain and the king's pool, but there was no place for the beast that was under me to pass. Then went I up in the night by the brook and viewed the wall and turned back and entered by the gate of the valley and so returned. And the rulers knew not whither I went or what I did. Neither had I as yet told it to the Jews, nor to the priests, nor to the nobles, nor to the rulers, nor to the rest that did the work. Then said I unto them, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, and Geshem the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us, and said, what is this thing that ye do? Will ye rebel against the king? Then answered I them, and said unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore we his servants will arise and build, but ye have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem. And then we could continue reading in chapter 3 of who built the walls and who built the gates and all of that. But we can read here that Nehemiah, he had a burden to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. They were broken down. The enemies were all around. And he knew that Jerusalem could be taken again. They just got released from the king to go back to Jerusalem, and Nehemiah didn't want to go back to being taken again, taken captives. And reading through this, it just makes me think, what walls in our life do we need to be building up? What walls have been broken down? Whether that's in our personal life or in our family life or even in the church, what walls have been broken down? And maybe we have compromised on some doctrinal issues, or maybe we have just become relaxed and they're starting a crack. And we need to go back and we need to be rebuilding these walls. So maybe a few walls that we have built. And I believe that these walls are doctrinal issues. We cannot take from man's ideas. But so doctrinally, we have to build up these walls. And just some that I just have come up with, this is by no means a complete list. But repentance and conversion, as in Acts 3:19. Being dead to self at baptism in Romans 6. The head covering, 1 Corinthians 11. Non-resistance, Matthew 5, 38 through 40. Not building up treasures on earth, Matthew 5, 19 through 24. Divorce and remarriage, Matthew 5, 32. That women should not be preachers, 1 Timothy 2:12. That wives are to be the keeper at home, Titus 2. I believe that these here can be walls that we need to be standing up for, that we need to be willing to fight for amongst others. But, you know, we can look around us. We can see churches all around us that are falling apart. They are bringing in unconverted people into their church. They're baptizing people who are still alive to sin. The head covering. Outside of the Anabaptist group, there's no such thing as a head covering. And these are all doctrinal things. Non-resistance. We hear of people rallying for the wars, these Christian people. We hear preachers, well, I guess I'd try not to listen to them, but you can hear preachers that preach health and wealth. That if you are a Christian, you're going to be this rich person. Divorce and remarriage is so rampant in the church today. There are women preachers everywhere. You can just keep going on and on of how these churches that have been started I don't necessarily want to use just one example, but we can think of the Methodist Church. It was started by John Wesley, and the burden that he had and a godly example that he was, and to see where that church started and to see where it is now. They have homosexual preachers. They have women on the pulpits. They have let these walls break down because of pressure. Pressure from the world. And they have taken these man's thoughts. And it's changed the church. And how can we as a church body here, how can we here keep building up our walls? Are there walls that we are compromising on? I'm not saying that this is the case, but are we letting in, are we baptizing people who are not dead to sin? And I'm not accusing anybody. I'm just asking the question. Do we know people that are divorced and remarried, and we say they are good people? They go to church. They're nice people. They profess to be these Christians. But can we go and can we say, but this is what the Bible says? This is what the Bible says. I've heard the saying, I'm not going to die on that hill. That hill is not worth dying for. So can we kind of rephrase it and say, I'm not going to die on that wall? You see, Nehemiah, he was willing. If we go to chapter 4, you can see where he builds up the army, where he has people 24/7 or 24/6. I don't know if they worked. I doubt that they worked on the Sabbath. But for 24 hours a day, they had a row of workers and they had a row of soldiers that was holding on to their weapons. Nehemiah was willing to die on that wall so that Jerusalem would not, so that Jerusalem could have a defense. We have Sanballat and Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem who are there, who are laughing at him, who are trying their hardest to make the people change their way, to say, you don't need a wall. You don't need this wall. Just like, you know, it's okay if women are on the pulpit, or it's okay to go to war. It's for a good cause. It's okay if the women don't wear their head covering. Their hair is a glory to them. Their hair is their head covering. It's okay if we don't repent for our sins. There are people like Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem that are coming into the churches that are trying to change them. That are trying to break down these walls because they would rather take the viewpoint of the world or take from people from history. Maybe, I don't know, maybe Luther or Calvin or the Pope. They would rather listen to a man than what the Lord says here in this word. And these men, Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem, these men that are coming into these churches are trying to break in. They will laugh us to scorn. Like in chapter 2. They laughed Nehemiah to scorn. They mocked him. They did that to Christ as well. They mocked the men. They will mock us if we stand up for the truth. They will laugh us to scorn. They will resist us. They will build up their own army to fight for us, or to fight against us as well, like in chapter 4. They will want to trick us into believing that they are okay people. And they are maybe okay people. They are probably good people. But good people can destroy a church really fast. They will want to come in and destroy what we have to make them feel better. And we need to be willing to fight. We need to be willing to die for what the Bible says. For the walls that have been built for us. We need to keep pressing on. And I look forward to us to keep raising up these walls, to keep fixing these cracks together as brothers and sisters in Christ. To keep each other accountable. To help each other. To lift one another up. But can we examine our own hearts? And can we say, we need to repent. We need to start rebuilding this wall. And I'm not accusing us of walls breaking down, but I'm sure that people can look into Burn Christian Fellowship and say they are letting this go. And may the Lord reveal that to us. And may we be willing to be like Nehemiah and come back and rebuild that wall.